Greetings, my friend. We are all interested in the
Deadpan Podcast.
For that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives. And remember, my friend, future
Deadpan
such as these will affect you in the future. You are interested in the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here. And now, for the first time, we are bringing to you the full story of what happened on that fateful day. We are giving you all the
Deadpan
based only on the secret testimony of the miserable
Deadpanites
who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Let us punish the guilty. Let us reward the innocent. My friend, can your heart stand the shocking facts about
Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast?
Maestro, if you please.
Jack Mangan.
2011.
Welcome to Canada.
2011.
A beautiful sight. We're posting tonight.
2011.
Walking in a deadpan wonderland.
2011.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Finland, Finland, Finland.
2011.
Time for me to pay off my hockey debt. My song had something to do with boots, so here goes.
We're made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these Jay-Z boots are gonna walk all over you.
Wait a minute. That's not Shania Twain. Now I gotta go find the right song. Hold on, let me do this all over again.
For most of his life, Prince Astor has known he would one day face the fearsome dragon known as Mandrake. For the past 10 years, this beast has burned crops, destroyed villages, killed countless worthy knights, and generally made the life in the kingdom of Caladan a royal pain. Now, the young prince has learned of a magic sword powerful enough to defeat the dragon. The history books say it can be found in the ruins of a once great empire hidden somewhere beyond the Misty Mountain. If Astor can find the lost empire, if he can brave the perilous journey through the mountains alone, if he can convince the ghost of the long-dead Empress that he is worthy, then the only thing standing between him and the Empress' sword might just be a skirt.
The Emperor's Sword is a fantasy novel by Paulette Jackson, coming this winter to Podiobooks.com, and is a full cast audio experience at EmperorsSword.com.
This is not your father's epic fantasy story, but it could be your mother's.
Hello, Deadpan. This is Amy Bowen, a.k.a. the Deadpan Ambassador. I hope you can understand me. I'm moving as quickly as I can to get away from the air conditioners. Sorry about that. I'm calling because I'd like to give a response to the most recent Deadpan QWERTY something about the show being irrelevant with with the activity on the comments board. I beg to differ. I still love and enjoy the show very, very much. And yet I do believe that the community of people we have around the comments board is strong enough to stand on its own, even on weeks when there's no show, again, as evidenced by the number of comments that we had during the silent week. So, next order of business. I had absolutely no idea Boston was going to end up in the playoffs when I picked Don't Look Back as the song. But now I'm glad I did, because it's pretty appropriate for a team that did make it to the playoffs. And I have things to say about the QWERTY-something bit, but I won't say them now. I will wait until I'm at home talking into my actual microphone and not my cheap, very old cell phone. Talk to you later, Deadpan. Amy Bowen, out.
Looking forward to your QWERTY reaction, Amy. So you will note that this is not an unshow, and this is not a palooza. No, it's actually a regular, whatever the hell a standard Deadpan is, that's what it is. So anyway, this is Deadpan. This is the Deadpan Podcast. This podcast is the motherfucking way. And I am the host of this podcast. My name is Jack Mangan. And I am not just a piece of meat.
Hey, it's Alfie in Boulder. You are listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Deadpan's the motherfucking way. I love you so much, Jack. It hurts how much I love you. You have no idea how much I love you. What?
Pablo Fanke's Circus Royale, Town Meadows, Rochdale. Grandest night of the season, and positively the last night but three, being for the benefit of Mr. Kite, late of Wells Circus, and Mr. J. Henderson, the celebrated Somerset thrower, wire dancer, vaulter, rider, etc., on Tuesday evening, February 14th, 1843. Mrs. Kite and Henderson, in announcing the following entertainments, ensure the public that this night's production will be one of the most splendid ever produced in this town, having been some days in preparation. Mr. Kite will, for this night only, introduce the celebrated horse Xanthus, well known to be one of the best broke horses in the world. Mr. Henderson will undertake the arduous task of throwing 21 somersets on the solid ground. Mr. Kite will appear, for the first time this season, on the tightrope when two gentlemen amateurs of this town will perform with him. Mr. Henderson will, for the first time in Rochdale, introduce his extraordinary trampoline leaps and somersets over men and horses, through hoops, over garters, and lastly through a hogshead of real fire. In this branch of the profession, Mr. H. challenges the world. For particulars, see Bills of the Day.
This has almost become the purring cat comment section. LeJohn from Chandler. He came back. He says, Cthulhu loves me, this I know. My insanity tells me so. Little brains to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Cthulhu loves me. Yes, Cthulhu loves me. My insanity tells me so. Vanamon says, Drink that feminist inside Courtney love is the new Deadpan Wi-Fi password. Ellipsis. Justa Joe says, I thought this was an interesting comment. Tyson's never going to be Sagan. He doesn't have the heart of a poet. He doesn't make me feel what he feels. I seems like he's trying to make science cool instead of beautiful, and it's not the same thing. Not to knock Tyson, ellipsis, because clearly science needs a cool cheerleader-esque advocate right now, ellipsis, but I think I'd have to agree with the characterization of Sagan, science versus Tyson's. Ditto says, it's only kinky the first time, semicolon, close parentheses. Lost Ralph says, sweet, the entire Battlestar Galactica series on Blu-ray is half off on Amazon. http://x.co/yr5x. CJ says, scan my ass. http://x.co/yqvb. Amy Bowen says, meme time. What are the first 10 songs you can think of that make you happy? Here are mine. 1. Love, Sugarland. 2. Sister Moon, Sting. 3. Where do you go to, my lovely Peter Sarstedt? Soft 4. Softly, Gordon Lightfoot. 5. Do you know what it means to miss New Orleans, Al Hurt? 6. Pure Imagination, parentheses from the first movie version of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. 7. Holy, 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 traditional hymn. 8. In the Circle, Hungry Lucy. 9. Unwritten, Natasha Bedingfield. 10. This is Country Music, Brad Paisley. Feel free to post here or record this as a segment or both. Hugh and Dre says, I am Spartacus. SP says, if you guys aren't on Facebook, you're missing a lot of Jeremy. Cough. The Energizer Bunny says, Vandamond, I just don't hug you enough. Star runs and jumps into Van's arms, giving him a big bear hug. Star, did I mention I was hyper today? And the first of the week, Vandamond says, not one scratch, Doctor.
Hi, this is Susie from How to Grow Your Geek, and you're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan. No, really, you are. I promise.
2011.
Okay, I think I got it right this time. Let me see.
Out in the country, past the city limits sign, well, there's a honky-tonk near the county line. The joint starts jumping when the night when the sun goes down. They got whiskey, women, music, and smoke. It's where all the cowboy folk go to boot, scoot, and boogie.
Wait a second. That's not Shania Twain either. I'll get it right one of these times. Let me try that again.
Okay.
Hey, this is CJ. I owe an anthem for a hockey thing. And my song is Bryan Adams, When You're Gone, featuring Melanie C. And so I've incorporated... is that a good word?
Yeah.
The help of Ralph. Lost Ralph.
Hi.
Hello, everyone.
And what we're going to do, because this song really freaking sucks, Van, is that we're gonna do a play-by-play of a video, but we're gonna do it like while we watch it. Oh, Jack's texting me. Wait, hang on. Is that texting? He says we can look it up or go back to being drunk, but we're gonna be drunk and do this if my children don't come out here. Go to bed. Can't wait. Bryan Adams, When You're Gone, featuring Melanie C. This may be longer than it needs to be. Should I turn it up?
That's good.
Like that? Oh, that's the wrong button. Okay, so first thing I noticed is Bryan Adams is hideous. And there's how many rooms? 9?
9.
9 rooms, it looks like. And is that a fake tattoo?
2 fake tattoos,
the
probably.
Melanie C. Chick has tattoos, but they don't look like tattoos anyone would want. How much eyeliner does he have on? More than me or less?
About the same.
What are those?
Lilies.
So they're in the same house, and there's 9 rooms, and she's doing gymnastics from the bed.
But not interesting gymnastics. It's boring gymnastics. No restraints.
Does she need restraints?
Well,
shackles.
It looks like the bed is tall enough to support him.
What is that?
A chair, I guess.
I can see his tonsils.
They're so serious. Why so serious?
Is that a fax machine?
I don't know.
Now he's kicking a trash can and she's going up the stairs. It's very, very important to know that those are fish.
Yellowfish. Probably means something.
They look so stressed out, like they don't even realize that they're in the same house. And now he's playing that basketball game. I have that app on my phone. He's got a gap. Oh, she's doing a handstand. That'll help.
More gymnastics.
They're like in the rooms right next to each other. I don't understand. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. She has glitter on. I look better in glitter than she does. He's juggling. This song kind of stupid. Apples. Green apples. They should make a pie. What do you think that thing on... I'm distracted now. boiling eggs. It's jumping around so much. She's got a gun. She's going to blow his brains out. Now she's going to go throw laundry on the floor. Do you think they're going to find each other?
No.
And then they'll do it. Wait, Jack said to keep this rated R. Uh-oh. Whoa. She was taking her clothes off right there.
Putting them back on.
So she can hear him playing music so much that she can dance. But she doesn't know that she can go in there and, like, stick her tongue in his mouth. But then he's got more eyeliner on than she does.
Maybe the doorknobs are too complex for her.
And her nose is pierced.
And tongue.
And he dropped his ball. Her tongue is pierced?
I think so.
I don't think so. Is that your fantasy verse? Do you want that? I'm just asking. Is his? Maybe it's his tongue that's pierced. Are you looking at his tongue?
Well, you know, the extreme close-ups, it's kind of hard to avoid.
Oh, it's Brian Adams. Why did I think it was Tom Waits? It's over now. I think that is my hockey anthem.
All right.
Goodbye. I have to turn this off now. I don't know how.
Do you need some help?
No.
Jack, did you know Shania Twain's a woman?
Whose bed have your boots been under?
Whose bed have your boots been under? And whose heart did you steal, I wonder? This time did it feel like thunder, baby? Whose bed have your boots been under? Don't look so lonely. Don't act so blue. I know I'm not the only guy you run to. I know about Jesus, your little Spanish flame. I've seen you round with Larry, your little down the lane. Whose bed have your boots been under? And whose heart did you steal, I wonder? This time did it feel like thunder, baby? And who did you run to? And whose lips have you been kissing? And whose ear did you make a wish in? Is she the one that you've been missing, baby? Well, whose bed have your boots been under?
Jack Mangan's Deadpan. Pop in your earbuds.
Hello, Deadpan. This is Amy Bowen, a.k.a. the Deadpan Ambassador. This is my first earbuds exchange segment, the part where I talk about the song I chose to send to my partner. I was partnered up with Jack for this, and the song I chose was Hard to Explain by The Strokes. I chose it for three main reasons. One, I thought Jack might not have heard it before. Two, I thought there was a fairly good chance that he would like it. And three, it's personally meaningful to me. In 2007, just before I left for my semester abroad in Japan, my good friends at college threw me a surprise party at Denny's. One of those friends gave me a mix CD that became the core of my personal soundtrack to my time in Japan. This was one of the songs on that CD. This song takes me back to walking the streets of Kyoto on hot summer days, going to and from classes or doing stuff with friends, soaking in the incredible atmosphere. This is one of those songs that evokes good nostalgia for me.
So I was a bit leery when Amy sent me a song by The Strokes, because, you know, all I knew of them was that Last Night song from the early 2000s, which is not really my thing. It's kind of an obnoxious song and just not kind of poppy, faux alternative, and black. But, you know, Amy's intuition was dead on. I listened to this song, Hard to Explain, And, you know, it actually, the way it started off, I was a little bit nervous that I was in for more kind of poppy, faux, sincere, faux alternative. But you know what? The song starts to go and it has a really, there's a really kind of a sweet, minor, kind of sad, yet persistent key to it. And it was actually a surprising joy to listen to. It's catchy, so you can kind of bop your head along to it. You know, it's got a good beat and I can dance to it. I'm not so sure about the lyrics, and I'm actually not one of those people who obsesses over lyrics, but let me see, what I can gather is that, and I could be completely way off, but it seems like it's kind of about how they've achieved the stardom and kind of grown apart with, you know, the friends that they had before, you know, and they're all kind of dreaming, and it seems like, you know, there's actually some subtlety, and there's actually some smarts and wisdom to the lyrics about kind of growing up and friends kind of thinking that they're, kind of afraid that they've changed and they're looking at their friends differently and the people who matter to them and the distances between everybody. I don't know, that's the take that's what I read into it. Since the chorus is raised in Carolina, she says, "I'm not like that," trying to remind her when we go back. "Then I miss the last bus, I'll take the next train and try, but you see, it's hard to explain. I say the right things but act the wrong way. I like it right here, but I cannot stay." Anyway, all that. It's a very sweet song, and actually it's intriguing musically because there's this almost grating, persistent hi-hat through the song as it builds towards the chorus, where the whole song kind of lets go and gets really energetic and kind of a little bit more frenetic. And that's where the hi-hat that's kind of really been ticking along, like almost like the second hand on a clock, disappears, and we get just kind of like a wash, like almost washing waves of cymbals in the background. So the drum work actually is also noteworthy. All right, thank you, Amy. And you know what? The song that I gave to Amy, we went metal. I chose the song Defender by Manowar because for a couple of reasons. The first reason is the song is very silly and funny, and you know, there's definitely a campy, hilarious aspect to it. Second reason is I actually did want to my first earbuds exchange to be something metal. I don't know. I wanted to just represent. I don't know. Third, it's actually a good song. It has kind of a Conan high fantasy esque feel to it, and you know, it got this epic feel to it, and you can't help but imagine Mark Singer or Arnold Schwarzenegger in a loincloth swinging a big sword around while you're listening to it. There is even a story to the song. There's even a story to follow. And fourth, and not last but not least, somehow Manowar, this hokey, cheesy metal band in the mid-1980s, got Orson Welles for one of the last things he ever did. Yes, Orson Welles, to narrate the part of the father in the song. And it really comes across beautifully. It's really almost, even though there's some hokey moments, it's almost chilling. And of course, we had, earbuds have been going so long, we had started this whole project right after we'd done The Third Man, which was an earlier and somewhat better respected project of Orson Welles. But anyway, this is an excellent song. It takes me back to listening to college radio in New Jersey, WSOU, and, you know, growing up and kind of coming into my own with my teenage identity as a long-haired, black t-shirt wearing metal teenager, you know, with my denim jacket. So I highly encourage you to actually to go out and check it out and be surprised yourself. I know you're saying, "Oh, I don't listen to that metal crap," but trust me, go out and listen to Manowar by listen to Defender by Manowar. I'll be shocked if it doesn't crack a smile in your face. Either you're laughing at it or you're actually getting into it. Alright, and let's hear Amy's reaction.
Hello, Deadpan. This is Amy Bowen, a.k.a. the Deadpan Ambassador. This is part two of my participation in Earbuds, the part where I talk about the song I received from my partner. The song I received from Jack was Defender by Manowar. I'd just like to share the thoughts that I noted while listening to it for the first time. First of all, I loved the guitar intro. It grabs your attention immediately, and it has such a great sound and a great resonance. After listening to the whole song, I loved this song, Jack. I loved the concept of it. It's so simple, but... but it's so powerful. This song is going straight on my Altador Cup playlist with all my other songs that, with all my other, yeah, get out there and kick some butt songs. My songs that give you enthusiasm and encouragement and energy. Excellent choice, Jack. I liked it very much. Thank you so much for sending it to me. Okay, I guess that's it. Amy Bowen, out.
I heard you've been sneaking around with Bill. And what about that weekend watching Benny Hill? And I've seen you walking with Long Leg Louie. And you weren't just talking last night with Dennis. Whose bed had your boots been under? And whose heart did you steal, I wonder? This time did it feel like thunder, baby? Who did you run to? And whose lips have you been kissing? And whose ear did you make a wish in? Is she the one that you've been missing, baby? Whose bed have your boots been under?
Woo! Tell me about it! Woo! Come on!
Start walking! Oh, wrong song, sorry.
All right, we're done here. Thank you very much for being Deadpan, for being patient, for being awesome, for being you, and for commenting. We're in a bit of a lull these days, but we're still doing all right, even with arguably some of our heaviest commenters are a little bit MIA or a little bit bogged down with other obligations. We're still doing all right. As long as we're all out there, friends, and staying in touch, and, you know, it's all good. That's what Deadpan's always been about. No, wait a minute. What the fuck? Deadpan has always been about me. It's been about me getting fucking stupid rich where I don't have to go to Skeksis work anymore. That's what Deadpan is about. Deadpan is the motherfucking way for me to be ridiculously rich. That's what it is. Right. So we have actually a very special treat for you. The closing music is really, it's an amazing thing, and actually it is a testament of what Deadpan is truly, truly, truly all about. So stick around. There's about 7 to 8 to 9 more minutes of awesomeness. So stick around. Good night, Mush. Deadpan is the motherfucking way. Oh, sorry. Click.
Next time you're lonely, don't call on me. Try the operator, maybe she'll be free. Whose bed have your boots been under? And whose heart did you steal, I wonder? This time did it feel like thunder, babe? Bed have your boots been under? And whose heart did you steal, I wonder? This time did it feel like thunder, baby? And who did you run to? And whose lips have you been kissing? And whose ear did you make a wish in? Is she the one that you've been missing, baby? Well, whose bed have your boots been under? I wanna know!
Wow. I really can't sing, can I? All right. Debt paid.
Awesome, JR. But no, that's not it.
This was a triumph. I'm making a note here. Huge success. It's hard to overstate my satisfaction. Aperture Science. We do what we must because we can. For the good of all of us, except the ones who are dead. But there's no sense crying over every mistake. You just keep.
Deadpan Retro here. You're probably wondering how the song came into existence. Back in October, Amy sent in an audio clip about her deleting a playlist and its consequences.
Every night when I go to my evening class, I like to set up the alarm function on my iPod to play a particular song to signal the end of the class, just for fun and to create a transition. I set that up tonight, and I put my earphones in when I was supposed to, knowing what time it would go off. And the song I hear is not the one I usually use for these transitions, but oh no, what do I hear? This was a triumph. I'm making a note here. Huge success, etc.
When I heard the opening line of her singing, "This is a triumph," I thought, wow, wouldn't it be awesome if she could sing the entire song? So that set me on the journey of trying to figure out how to recreate the song and to see if Amy would be interested in such a thing. So as it turns out, I contacted her and she graciously accepted, and I went about the task of trying to figure out how to do this thing. So as it turns out, if you go on the internet, you can find sheet music for just about any song you can think of, as well as MIDI files that will actually play on various computer programs. So I found one that I liked best on ultimateguitar.com, and it had the music for the vast majority of all the instruments played in the original song. And so I took that and outputted the individual MIDI tracks to my Yamaha keyboard, because the audio samples of my keyboard are actually pretty decent. Took those back into my laptop as individual instrument tracks, added Amy singing, and I also asked Jack to do some of the bass parts, which he did an excellent job on. And then I had a little bit of my own playing on the acoustic guitar and electric guitar, and added that on. I layered that on top of the MIDI playing to make the MIDI playing, you know, a little less synthetic. So I rounded all that up and played with the settings until I got a mix that I liked. And this is the, or what you just heard is the final result. I want to take a minute to talk about Amy's vocals. She sent me two takes. One she said was a little bit more relaxed than the first, but I kind of liked the nuances of the first take better. But I did end up using pieces of her second take for the harmony section. You might also notice that she sings with a slight synthesizer-sounding voice, and I found this program that would normally cost $300 called Melodyne on the internet, but there's a 30-day trial, luckily. And I used that to give the slight synthesized sound to her voice. But, you know, pieced all back together, we've got a song that's just a, in my opinion, a pretty close approximation of the original song. I wanted to thank Jack for his bass contribution and the Deadpan for hosting the file, but a big thanks to Amy for her amazing vocal track, as well as being the reason the song exists at all.